final case this morning is United States versus Southard, case number 21-6035. Ms. Deskin, you may proceed.
Good morning again. I represent appellant Jerry Southard. I'd like to start by saying that on the second part of my argument, the procedural errors, in looking at this for oral argument and re-looking at the government's arguments, I think that I need to abandon those arguments. I'm not buying my own arguments there. So I have to confess that. I think I'm just dead in the water on those. And then on the, as to the first issue, which is the four-level guideline enhancement and whether that was appropriate, we're once again, just like in the last case we argued, looking at a statement from the court that I believe is unclear. I did not take Judge Friant's comments. I took his statements regarding the stolen vehicle as a comment and not a ruling on the record. If it is indeed a ruling, that changes everything. And that's just where I stand.
Well, let me make sure I understand what you mean by that, because I was going to ask you, you do say in your reply brief, and I'm quoting, if the court's commentary is construed as an alternative ruling on applicability of the enhancement, however, Mr. Southard concedes he cannot establish harm as to the former ruling. So could you tell us exactly what you meant by that?
Yes, that was not very well written at all when you quote that. I think that if he was making an alternative holding there, if he was saying this four level enhancement applies because I find and hold that the government has proved that Mr. Southard knew he had a stolen vehicle, therefore he fit the elements for felony possession of a stolen vehicle, that then it's met and that 4-point enhancement applies. And so it's over for Mr. Southard on that.
Okay. But, and then let me just make sure I understood the, how you started off your argument. Is the only issue remaining for us the 4-level enhancement? Are you abandoning yes, everything else?
I am.
Okay. I just wanted to be clear on that.
Okay. Yes, I'm sorry that it took me this long to come to that decision. I didn't want to let it go, but that's where I stand. Yep. I think I was wrong. But on the, as to this one, okay. So the problem with the stolen vehicle section, so there's two felonies that could have applied here to enhance it, either stolen vehicle or possession of drugs. As to the stolen vehicle, the government is stated that they had a problem proving that he knew it was stolen. So it was the judge that was wanting to go there with the stolen vehicle, and the government continually pushed back on that and said, nope, I think the better argument is the drugs.
But that's, I mean, the objection was made and the judge resolved the, appeared to not really care that the government didn't want to pursue it. I mean, the court was very specific about that.
That's true.
You know, he, after the government said, yeah, we don't think it's, the evidence is as strong on that, and basically just seemed to want to whiz right past it, the judge said, question defense counsel about it.
Yes. There's
several pages of the transcript. And then right after the end of that, that discussion is when the judge makes what appears to be two pretty clear rulings. First, it overrules the objection regarding the drugs. And then it says, and by the way, basically, I don't believe the explanation. And here it's talking about the explanation for the vehicle supposedly being traded as opposed to stolen. Judge explains the vehicle was stolen day before and he has it the next day with his track record. I am satisfied he knew it was a stolen vehicle. And that was the issue. Did he know it? So I'm going to overrule the objection. It seems pretty clear to me. He's referring to that second objection that he has not accepted the government's, essentially their attempt to just give it up on that.
if that's the court's reading of it, I mean, I really don't think that I can push back on that.
Why that shouldn't, I guess I'm asking you, how do you read that some other way?
Well, because
after the court pushes back and questions for several pages on this point, and then says, I'm going to basically find he knew that the vehicle was stolen.
Yes, the several pages were mainly, as I recall, about getting the facts correct. Right. Judge Fried initially believed, you know, and so I think that's why it's so long. Mm-hmm. And he just said, basically, I don't believe the explanation, but you had two parties that were, they said, the person who was actually involved in stealing the vehicle said, I traded it with Mr. Southard. And Mr. Southard said, I traded it. And it was, and that was not accepted by the court. And he found by a preponderance that, or he, that's not, I have to backtrack there because I'm saying that he did not exactly find that. I was reading it that he was kind of frustrated with the fact that the government didn't go where he wanted to go. Mm-hmm. And so saying, well, I don't believe the explanation, but the longer, you know, he said, I'm satisfied from the authority that the defendant had, his possession of drugs coupled with prior convictions made this qualify for the 4-point enhancement. And he wasn't as clear in the other part, especially for Judge Fryett, who's generally, you know, mm-hmm. Very clear in the way he makes his holdings and findings.
But this is pretty clear. That's how he took it. This is pretty clear. He says, and with his track record unsatisfied, he knew that was a stolen vehicle. I don't know how you could be more clear.
And the next sentence connecting it. So I'm going to overrule the objection. I think I understand your argument, but it's kind of an uphill battle here.
It is.
And could have been clearer.
It could have been clearer. And I didn't, the reason why I took it that way is because of Judge Fryett's record and how clear he normally is. But if this court determines otherwise, I mean, that's where it stands.
And if we do, if we determine that, in fact, the district court made that finding, then is there any room left to you after the Sanchez case?
No. All right.
Well, sometimes you have to argue hard. Yeah.
That's all I have for Mr. Southard. Mm-hmm. So I will cede the rest of my time.
Could I just ask you about the other candidate for the felony offense, the drug offense. You talk about our decision in Cantu in your brief. And we're on plain error review. And so my question to you is how that case shows that any error was plain when that case concerned the Armed Career Criminal Act. And this one doesn't. This one concerns Section 844A of the Controlled Substances Act. So I'm just interested in your plain error argument based on Cantu. Could you just speak to that?
Yes, I think that it meets plain error based on the analysis that one would take in determining is this a qualifying prior conviction or how 844 defines what is a if the prior conviction meets its criteria. So every time we have that question, it seems to me when we're talking about an ACCA, like in Cantu, crime of violence, violent felony, serious drug offense, in the immigration context, whether something's an aggravated felony, in sex crimes, if you're defining prior sex convictions, every time you go through this categorical approach analysis. And this here is the same thing. You're trying to determine, just like in Cantu, is this a drug, narcotic, or chemical offense as defined by this statute? And when you're not sure, you look at, you go through that categorical approach analysis. So my argument is that it meets plain error in that, because that is the established analysis that must one must go through, even though that hasn't specifically taken place with the 844. This was a pretty unusual, I mean, it was a pretty good reach, I think, for applying this 4-point enhancement, going to 844 for that. And perhaps that's why there's no case law on it on this point. But I think that it meets plain error because that's the analysis you have to go through that's been established.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I'll cede the rest of my time or reserve it.
Thank you. Mr. Bottomley.
Your microphone.
Need to unmute.
All right. Sorry about that. May it please the court, Bo Bottomley on behalf of the United States. I guess I would just like to address whether the district court plainly erred when it applied the 4-level enhancement. And I'm going to keep it short because it seems like the main focus is on whether the district court made a finding that the enhancement applied based on the unauthorized use of the motor vehicle. But simply what he says is, and this is after they've discussed the facts of the stolen motor vehicle, he overrules the objection based on the possession of the drugs. And then he says, and also, frankly, I don't believe the explanation. Here is a vehicle that was stolen the day before and he has it. And with his track record, I'm satisfied he knew that was a stolen vehicle. So I'm going to overrule the objection. And so he's addressing both what's in the PSR as the reasons for the enhancement. And he's also addressing the objections that were made on the record and in the PSR regarding both the possession of the drugs and the unauthorized use of a motor vehicle. So it's very clear that he is applying the enhancement based on both. And simply, even if this court believed that it was error to apply the enhancement based on the drug possession, there was no prejudice from it because the district court also found that the enhancement applied based on the unauthorized use of the motor vehicle.
Well, counsel, let me just ask a question about reliance on the stolen vehicle under the guideline. The guideline here, the 2K2.1, applies if the defendant used or possessed any firearm or ammunition in connection with another felony offense. So even if we take what the district court said about stolen vehicle and his knowledge of it, how did the defendant's possession of the firearm, how do you link it to possession of the stolen vehicle? How does it have a connection to the felony offense? Don't you have to show that for the guideline to apply?
We do, Your Honor. I think that's where we would obviously point to Sanchez, that says the possession of a firearm could have emboldened the defendant to accept the risk of maintaining possession of the stolen vehicle. He talked about even the reason that he had a gun is because he was afraid. Let me see. I might have his. The judge asks him, what are you doing with a gun? He says, I'm just dealing with stupid people and just listening to their BS. I'll paraphrase their comments saying they were going to do these things to me. So I was just trying to protect myself. That's how I was looking at it. I was not trying to do the wrong thing. I was just trying to keep myself safe. There's also within the PSR, the female that stole the gun says that Mr. Southard steals from drug dealers all the time. So we know he has a stolen vehicle. We know it's not his. The judge has made a finding that he knew it was not his. And so it is a very strong possibility that he possessed the gun to facilitate the commission of the other felony, which we believe now is the possession of the stolen vehicle. In other words, if somebody came to claim that vehicle, if the drug dealer that was originally supposed to get that car came to claim that vehicle, he would have the gun. Really, everything that I was going to cover has been covered. I don't want to waste the court's time. Are there any questions? Okay. Unless the court has any other questions, we would conclude by saying that although there may have been some errors, they are cumulatively harmless, and the court should affirm the district court's opinion.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Bottomley. Ms. Deskin, anything further from you? Your mic is on mute.
Sorry, I forgot I did that. One point, and I guess this is just what ultimately bothers me, is that the government here, it's their burden when you object to something in the guidelines, to the enhancement in this case, and it's their burden to prove it by a preponderance of the evidence. And they here abandoned that argument and, you know, focused solely on the drugs. And so the judge was the one wanting to prove it kind of on his own. But I don't think that the government ultimately met its burden. And then again, I would just stress that I would ask this court to find that it was not, in fact, a holding or ruling by by Judge Fried on that issue. That's all I have.
All right. Any other questions? All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, counsel, for the arguments this morning. The case will be submitted and counsel are excused.